You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Cage Match, a monthly podcast where we will sort through the catalog of Nicolas Cage one film at a time. We'll determine whether he's the true shining star thespian of his age, an overhyped, overrated, overactor who deserves to just be over, or perhaps something in between. I'm your co-host, Justin Harlan, and with me as always is Melissa Murder Maid Rayner.
Hi.
Hi. That'll probably be the last time you hear me call her Melissa. I've never called her Melissa before this exact moment.
I don't like it.
So when I'm saying murder, it's not like I'm going to murder someone. That's actually what I call Melissa.
It means that I'm going to murder somebody.
Well, she might. This is our inaugural episode. It's going to be a little different than the rest. We want to take a little time to set everything up for you to understand what you're in for. But don't worry, we're not going to have you here listening all day. We're kicking off with his brand spanking new movie. And therefore, we're not going to be in the whole spoiler territory. So we won't be spending quite as much time on the film, which I think Murder might be okay with because she doesn't really like this movie very much. But no spoilers, no spoilers. Murder, why don't we start with some proper introductions? Who are you?
I am Murder, also known as Melissa, but nobody calls me that in my entire life. I like to roller skate, I guess. Yeah. I guess that's a pretty big part of my life.
I mean, it's how I know you.
Yeah, through roller derby and running the roller rink. My favorite films is like a tough thing to answer, I think.
Do you have a favorite like type of film?
I don't know. I like all the things. I do like
what are the most recent films you've watched and been like, I really love this movie?
Oh, man. I'm such a heckler. That's really tough. Okay.
So you like to like just bust on shit.
I mostly like terrible movies.
Well, no, but there's nothing wrong with terrible movies.
Yeah. I do like, you know, comedies, but mostly all my films that I do like are like older ones.
Fair.
Like The Princess Bride is my favorite movie.
That's a great movie to love.
Yeah. So I feel like I like the old Hollywood classic types.
Well, you can answer however you wish, as you wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
It's dad jokes all day.
I also like Spaceballs a lot.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Nick Cage the only place we're going to disagree? I don't know. Disagree about a lot of other things besides movies.
Like
but
violently disagree about other stuff.
So that brings me to me, I guess. In that, if you know me from other podcasts, cool. Thanks for coming to check this out. If you know me from being involved with the Derby team that I know Murder from, cool as well. If you don't know me, also cool. But my name's Justin. I'm a guy who's into talking and writing about movies and music. And I have like a day job and stuff, but I don't want to talk about that. And I do like Nick Cage quite a bit. Which is the point of divergence that really set this podcast off.
It's when I knew I hated you the most.
I know, right? And there aren't a lot of people in real life that I can argue with as violently as Murder and still hug at the end of the night. So it's pretty nice to get a chance to have a podcast with someone who is willing to disagree vehemently with me. So
it's a loving friendship that's based off of hate.
Yes, exactly.
That's like probably the best way to describe it.
We both apparently like some of the other same things. And we both like my wife a lot.
I like your wife a lot.
Well, hey, listen. She's my wife. For now. Before we get going, each episode there's going to be a few different spots. And I'm going to highlight them as we go. But one thing we're going to do at the beginning of every episode is start with a drink. More specifically, an adult beverage of some sort. that will be kind of a peace offering, reminding us, you know, to have some fun with this and not kill each other.
That we like each other a little
bit. Right, exactly. And we both are whiskey drinkers, which makes this one an easy start. We're going to take turns picking out the drink, so next episode will be Murder's turn. Today, I went with a regular old fashioned. One of my favorite drinks, actually. And I chose it because The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent is a movie that's about Nick Cage's life in a weird sense. It's really not.
So weird.
But it's kind of based on his life. And he gets very drunk on whiskey multiple times in this movie. In the beginning, it looks like Jack Daniels, but they do go out of their way to not show the bottle.
Yeah.
But he then later, when they ask him what he likes, he says he likes bourbon. So I figured I'd go with the bourbon old fashioned. So I used Ezra Brooks because it's affordable. I don't spend a lot on myself.
It used to come with prizes.
Sadly, this bottle did not come with a cool prize.
Yeah, they used to have like flashlights and keychains.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's the only reason I got it in college.
Yeah, I just like it because it's like the price point is $14 and it's easily as good as most mid-shelf bourbons.
I mean, so, I think Jack Daniels is garbage, so Ezra Brooks is just fine.
Fair enough. So we're going to start today with a toast. So we'll hear us clinking. Ready? Huh? Kind of clinking. And taking a little sip.
Oh, this is pretty good.
Hey. My personal recipe for an old-fashioned is I go brown sugar instead of regular sugar.
Nice.
Because I like the little extra sweetness molasses gives it.
Yeah.
Different flavor to it, too. And that's really, it's real simple.
Yeah.
It's just sugar.
I really like it.
Alcohol and bitters. And I use, you know, traditional, I can never pronounce them, those bitters. The ones that everybody has.
Like, with, like, the paper wrapping?
Yeah, with the paper wrapping ones. Yeah,
I forget what it's called.
I used to use orange bitters a lot, but I ran out of them, and this was what the store had when I went to the store, so, you know.
I'll do it.
So we start the day with an old-fashioned in honor of old Nicolas Cage. Not young Nicolas Cage. I don't know what the hell he drank, but he's also in this movie through de-aging technology. Kind of de-aging technology.
It was so fucking weird.
Yeah. We'll get there. So, now that we've had our drink, why don't you tell us why we're here today?
Because I fucking hate Nicolas Cage. I hate him so much.
So tell me a little bit about your history with Nick Cage as far as when you realized you hated him. What films, you know, if earliest back you can remember watching him and disliking him. Things like that.
So I think we discussed it a little bit before, but you know, I grew up in the 90s, and that's when late 90s is like when he was in every fucking movie ever.
I think that was after his first divorce, so I think a lot of alimony,
Yeah, Jesus fuck. Like, late 90s, early 2000s, like every time I saw something on TV for a movie trailer, it was fucking Nicolas Cage and his stupid face. I think he's like really genuinely terrible because he plays the same fucking role in every single movie, essentially. Mm. He always has a freak out moment. Hmm. He always loses his mind. I don't know where it first started because I'm not a cageologist, but, he's pretty fucking awful. And I think I started hating him like vehemently in middle school.
Okay.
Probably.
Wow. Long time.
Yeah. Somebody joked about getting me a Nick Cage pillowcase. And I said, haha, I would throw that in the garbage if he got that for me for Christmas. Right. So then they did, and I literally stood up and put it in the garbage.
And then you lost a friend.
Yeah. And they're like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, I don't want it. I told you I'd throw it in the garbage.
Is it that like famous sequin pillow?
No, this was like early 2000s, so it was just like a regular ass pillowcase, but it was like his face stretched out.
Oh, that's even creepier.
Yeah.
But in the movie, they have that weird sequin pillowcase. I've seen that all over the internet for years now, so it's
Are you gonna get it?
I don't think so.
So you can like make out with him when you go to bed.
I just borrow my son's Nick Cage hoodie that he has with Nick Cage's face on it, and I make out with that. Yeah,
that's cute.
Yeah, my wife is away tonight, so I'll probably sleep with Nick Cage.
It's a perfect day for it.
Yeah, it's perfect.
I'm totally gonna tell her.
You can. I'm gonna put it on a pillow, so he's like I'm snuggling with him. I'm not gonna really do that. You guys can all picture it if you'd like, and Photoshop it if you will. I mean, that's fine. We'll post it if you do. Send it in. Send it over. You guys get by now that I'm the Nick Cage fan of the two of us. I'm not going to claim to be a Nick Cage expert. I've seen a lot of his films, and I've liked pretty much everything I've seen him in. However, there's a lot of his films I've either not seen or not seen in a long time, especially some of like the classics, especially the classics that aren't in the action genre, because I've seen all of his action genre classics, but like I don't remember Adaptation well. I think I saw it. I don't remember Valley Girl because I watched that when I was a kid on TV.
Yeah.
Some point we're going to get to them, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I really want to watch Valley Girl.
I do think we need to get to that one sooner rather than later, so I'll probably be in the next few months.
Yeah.
It'll probably be... you'll probably hate it.
Yeah, probably.
Or you'll probably hate him, at least.
Yeah.
Even if you're like, oh, the movie's great, but Nick Cage,
well,
fuck
there's
that
a
guy.
Lot of movies where I'm just like, yeah, I love that movie, except for Nick Cage being in it.
Ooh, man, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
So before we move any further... I'm gonna go through a list of a few Nick Cage movies. Probably more than a few, but not a ton. I don't want to spend all of our time doing this. But I'm gonna go with some of the big ones, some of the more recent ones, and some of like the classics. And when we do this, this is the game. Are you ready, Murder?
I was born ready.
You're gonna tell me whether or not you've seen it, you like it, you hate it. So here's what we're gonna do. If you like the movie, you're gonna say, "That's a good muffin." There's a quote from Adaptation. I don't remember it very well, but I watched the clip and I thought it was a funny funny way to say that you like it, which I don't expect you to say very much. If you hate it, you're going to say, "Put the bunny back in the box," which will be even more relevant next week when we get to this film.
Yeah.
Or next month. We're not meeting every week. I don't have that kind of time, folks. And if you haven't seen it, you will say, and this is a quote from Nick himself, "Nobody wants to watch perfection."
That line makes me want to throw up, but yeah, let's do it.
Right. So, we're going to start with some recent ones first.
Okay.
Have you seen Pig?
Nobody wants to watch perfection.
All right. I have yet to see Pig as well, so I hear great things. I'm sure you'll hate it. Color Out of Space.
Oh, my God. Put the bunny back in the box. Fuck that movie. Biggest waste of my life.
I've heard stories of your reactions in the theater
about
this movie.
I was so mad. Nobody told me it was the Nicolas Cage movie when we went to go see it. They're like, "Hey, do you want to go to this movie?" And I was like...
Nicolas Cage channeling his inner Donald Trump?
It was so fucking terrible. Ooh. And then the movie starts and his face pops up and I like look at Raven. I'm like, "You fucking bitch."
That's great. Oh, Lord. Mandy.
Put the bunny back in the box.
That was going to be our first movie, but we decided to go with this new theatrical and come back to Mandy in a couple months. So I'm already getting a little preview of how she feels about that one. Willy's Wonderland.
Nobody wants to watch perfection.
You might like that. He doesn't speak in that movie.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, actually doesn't speak once.
I like that. Right. That's why I almost like Mandy.
Oh.
Because he didn't talk a lot.
Oh, that's funny. All right, let's go to some classics. The Rock.
It was so long ago, but I did see it. Put the bunny back in the box.
Okay. Con Air.
Nobody wants to watch perfection.
Well, and we're getting there next week, or next month. I keep saying next week.
Yeah.
I really just want to just meet with you weekly here.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I like watching Nick Cage weekly. I know you couldn't handle it.
I probably couldn't.
Yeah,
I would
so
quit.
next month is going to be Con Air, and we're going to talk about that more at the end of the podcast, so we'll get there. Adaptation?
Nobody wants to watch perfection.
Movies that are referenced in Massive Talent. Guarding Tess.
Nobody wants to watch perfection.
Wild at Heart.
Nobody wants to watch perfection.
So I love Wild at Heart.
Yeah.
I have not seen Guarding Tess that I remember. If I have, it's a long time.
Wild at Heart, you said, is the one where Nikki comes in.
Yeah, okay. So those who have seen the new movie... He has this young alter ego who's wearing actually a Wild at Heart shirt. It's not exclusively built on the Nikki, the character from Wild at Heart, but he dresses like he dresses in Wild at Heart with the leather jacket and the long hair.
Blonde hair.
Yeah, it, weird.
Ew,
gross. And they use a somewhat successful de-aging process, maybe. I don't know. We'll get there. Oh, yeah, I have some comments about that one. The Wicker Man. His Wicker Man, to be specific.
Put the bunny back in the box.
Don't remember it very well?
No, I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I didn't love it, but I didn't think it was the worst. I mean, I think the original Wicker Man was way better.
Well, to be fair, the original Wicker Man may be my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to try to compare the two. And actually, today is May Day. which the Wicker Man occurs on, the original Wicker Man occurs on.
Yeah.
If any of you guys have listened to Jonathan Colton, who's a nerd singer guy, he has a song called First of May. I recommend it greatly because it's the beginning of, it marks the beginning of outdoor fucking season.
Oh.
That's what, yeah. So.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, that's really the premise of the song. It's like, what a time, you know? And I bring that up because Wicker Man is basically a movie about fucking. Not the new one, but the original. Maybe that's why I like the original better. I don't know. Let's see, a couple others. Let's see, we'll go Valley Girl.
Nobody wants to watch Perfection.
And I don't remember it. Peggy Sue Got Married.
Nobody wants to watch Perfection.
Ghost Rider.
Put the bunny back in the box.
All right, and we're going to end on a positive note. It's the only movie I know you like, Kick-Ass.
That's a good muffin.
Woo! All right. Now, to be fair, he's not a Nick Cage movie so much as a movie Nick Cage is in. So that might be a distinction. We might be getting some positive comments in the future when they're movies that aren't really Nick Cage movies. Oh, Lord. So that's a little bit about some of the movies you have and haven't seen. And
I got a whole list now.
You're right. And, we're going to have a lot to talk about and a lot of movies that are new to us, both of us even. So that's great. I'm excited to watch some new movies. I'm excited to hear you hate these movies and me probably like most of them. But that's kind of our introduction before I move into the film a little bit. So when we do this podcast monthly, obviously we're not going to tell you about our history of Nick Cage all the time. We might start by talking about some things we've seen recently or other stuff as well. But, if you want to hear the history, you got to tune into this one. So tell your friends. But I want to talk about the new movie, Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
It should have just been Unbearable.
The Unbearable Film, period. As far as murders concerned.
Thank you. Can you just stop stalling and answer the question? What is your third favorite movie of all time?
Paddington 2.
What? Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, Paddington 2, connect those dots. I mean, I don't want to be a snob, but...
I cried through the entire thing and made me want to be a better man.
Bullshit, Mom! Paddington 2 is incredible.
I fucking told you.
One of our regular segments at the beginning of the discussion of the film is going to be, we're going to start with the IMDb summary, just because it's an easy way to, you know, highlight the film. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Rotten Tomatoes ratings.
Yeah, I wish the film was short and to the point as the summary.
the summary is pretty short and to the point.
In this action-packed comedy, Nicolas Cage plays Nick Cage, channeling his iconic characters as he's caught between a superfan, Pedro Pascal, is so fucking hot.
Fair.
That's not in the summary. And a CIA agent, Tiffany Haddish, which I also love that she was in there.
So, name three people in this, and you said positive things about two of them and not the other. Just saying.
Pedro Pascal can get it.
He's a good-looking dude. Everybody knows him. His first role, everybody knows him for, he didn't show his face once in.
I know.
It's kind of cool to see him, and he was a blast. I'm not going to disagree with you there. In fact, I'll go as far as to say he does steal the film in a lot of ways. Yeah. That said, tomato heads, as I like to call them, this is what they had to say. 87%, both the tomato meter and the audience score are positive.
I don't believe that.
It is.
The audience score even?
The audience score even, yeah. But here's the thing. I think most people who watch this film went into it watching it as Nick Cage fan.
Yeah. I'm going to lower that rating tonight.
Yeah. I think we picked the very worst movie to start with for someone who's not a Nick Cage fan.
Yeah.
This is very much a movie for fans.
Yeah.
And, clearly that's not you.
Yeah. The two people that were in the movie theater with me loved it. There was only two people.
There were only two people, including me, when I saw it. And we both loved it as well. So, yeah. Before I get into the film itself, I made a really funny note right before the movie started. Funny to me. I said, if I were to judge films by the trailers that come with it, this one started with a Downton Abbey trailer for me.
Oh, really?
And I was like, what the fuck? Because I'm sorry, but I'm not the Downton Abbey type. And I was like, why is the Nick Cage movie starting with a Downton Abbey trailer? The rest of the trailers they showed were very up my alley, but I was like, what? All right, so as the movie begins, Con Air is playing to this I guess they're high school kids, roughly.
Yeah, I think they're like 17.
Yeah, like right around that, like, end of high school, kind of.
Yeah.
They're high, actually. Yeah. They're waiting for their DoorDash to show up for their order, the delivery food they ordered. And I guess it's in another country, so I don't know if it's DoorDash per se, but.
Yeah, it's in Spain, I think.
Dior Dachet. I always love that. But they get hijacked and kidnapped, and I don't want to get too into it, but they get kidnapped, right? So it's not ruining anything. It's the first scene in the movie. That's how the whole movie starts, kind of like a Taken, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
This young girl and her boyfriend are taken. Mm-hmm. And the next thing we see is this meeting with Nick Cage meeting with the studio exec and going batshit fucking crazy.
It was so insane. It was so uncomfortable to watch.
It was very uncomfortable. And I think it's intentionally uncomfortable. Yeah. And it's very much a like a meta, and this movie's very meta. It's very much like playing on the what the media portrays him as, this crazy guy, and he's trying to land this role, and he keeps going just way too far to try to land this role. I enjoyed it.
Sorry, it was terrible.
Yeah, terrible.
I hated it. I thought it was like that scene sums up why I hate Nick Cage. Like, that exact scene was just like, oh, yeah, that's why I fucking hate him. This overacting, screaming, freaking out thing. Yeah. And, like, I think that the entire movie, that's how he is in real life.
And
the man is three divorces deep.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. We could double check. It could even be four. It's a lot. It's a lot of...
I feel like that's how he is. Yeah. Unbearable.
Do you think growing up as a Coppola could be part of the problem?
Maybe. Maybe he was... I don't know. Maybe he was a little bit inflated.
Yeah, I mean... Don't get me wrong.
I just forget he's a fucking Coppola.
Yeah, he's a Coppola.
Yeah.
I mean, because he doesn't go by Coppola.
Yeah.
Nicholas, whatever his name is, Coppola. I don't know his middle name. It's not Cage, I'm pretty sure. After that, we are introduced to Nikki, his younger self.
That's so fucking weird.
All right, so through the technology of de-aging, we get a wild at heart looking and dressed Nick Cage in the leather jacket. He's actually wearing a t-shirt that says Wild at Heart. I mean, he looks younger. He doesn't look like young Nick Cage, though, to me. He looks like, what if we tried to make old Nick Cage look young? I wish he looked more like the young Nick Cage. It would have. Instead, it was Uncanny Valley weird shit for me.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was, like, a cyborg or something.
It felt like there were certain parts of the movie that felt like they were, like, glitching. Like, his face, like, looked like claymation melting off of him. And it was freaking me the fuck out.
Oh,
like,
Lord.
If I was high in that theater, I probably would have left at
probably
that
point. Probably good that you didn't get high before this movie. Yeah.
Because, like, I would have just left. I mean, I really wanted to leave. There were so many points where I just wanted to go. But the whole anti-aging thing was really fucking weird. Or reverse aging, whatever.
I think they call it whatever. It doesn't make a difference. The thing is, we've all seen movies that do it pretty well. We've seen movies that do it pretty poorly. And this is somewhere in between, because it's not bad.
Yeah.
But it's also... If I didn't know what young Nick Cage looked like, it might not have bothered me as much. But, like, his face was still wider, like, chubbier, older. And not that he's chubby. He's not a chubby guy. But, like, his face got rounder.
Yeah.
His face was thinner. He probably was doing drugs that make you thin when he was young.
Yeah, probably.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to assume that he did drugs.
Oh,
but
I'm assuming.
I'm also going to say I'm well aware that he has been in and out of rehab and has a severe alcohol problem. So, you know, there's that. So after we get introduced to him arguing with Nikki.
I'm making that fucking Nick Cage sound.
He screams that at the steering wheel.
I hate it so much.
We then see him in family counseling with his daughter, and that's a nightmare. But it again, I find that scene kind of funny because it just shows him as this narcissistic prick of a guy. Yeah. And every time they try to get into something that's really his daughter's feelings, he just derails the conversation.
Yeah, like talking about his movies.
And... yeah, and his favorite movies. And he just goes on and on about The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Have you ever seen that?
No.
You'd hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you'd hate it. I don't like it very much either. But maybe you would like it. It's a German impressionistic film from the 1890s, I believe, or early 1900s. It's one of the earliest horror films, also one of the earliest films, feature films. It's black and white. It's real slow. There's some really cool imagery, some cool soundtrack stuff with the score, the old score, but it is slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
is it like a talkie? Like, is there
no
sound?
No, 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 no.
I think I would fucking hate that.
And I think the...
I'm going to add it to the list.
Whether or not it is truly one of Nick Cage's favorite films, I bet you it probably is. It's certainly placed here in to show him as a pretentious film guy, because that's what it is. It's a pretentious film guy film.
Yeah.
And my friends who are pretentious film guys who are probably listening will probably be like, yeah, I love that movie. So you know who you are. All right. Know who you are.
Start naming names.
Yeah.
Call him out.
He comes home after, and his ex-wife is there, and he's still being all pretentious about it, and he's like, well, she doesn't even know the films. And she talks to his ex-wife. She goes, she doesn't know who Humphrey Bogart is. And I thought one of my favorite like dad jokes, although it's made by a mom, is she's like, she was laughing because they were talking about sex, and then she goes, Humphrey Bogart? Get it? And he's like...
because his daughter thought it was a porn star name.
Yeah, I thought it was a porn star name. And she's like, well, that kind of works. Yeah.
She's like, that is disappointing, but...
yeah, but... so then he misses most of his daughter's birthday party, comes there after getting rejected for the film he really wants, chugs a bunch of Jack Daniels, sings a song.
Yeah.
And like I said...
about Neil Patrick Harris, though?
Oh, I shouldn't skip over Neil Patrick Harris, because I love Neil Patrick Harris.
So good.
Neil Patrick Harris, what's his name? Finch?
Fink.
Fink. Oh, God, of course it's Fink. Why wouldn't it be? Because he's a Fink.
Yeah.
Right? His agent is Neil Patrick Harris. The character's name is Fink, who's trying to tell him he needs to go to this birthday party gig that pays $1 million for him to just... they're going to fly him out to Spain. He's going to be there for a few days. It's basically an all-expense-paid trip and $1 million. I mean, it's not a bad gig. He doesn't want to take it because he's a real actor.
Yeah.
He's a thespian. I love that he uses that word all the time.
Yeah, fucking thespian is used like five times.
Such a pretentious word. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, and he's trying to do it because he was like losing his... the hotel that he was living at.
He's not allowed to live at the hotel anymore because he's out of money. He's been living there since his divorce. $600,000 bill, I think, they just got sent to his accountant.
Yeah.
So he's initially not going to take it, and then we find out he doesn't get this other gig. He gets completely plastered at his daughter's party, sings the most ridiculous song. That's not... he's just ad-libbing bullshit about his favorite moment he had with his daughter.
Yeah.
The sunrise he watched with her. And then he goes and takes this gig. So that's kind of the whole setup to why he's going to go to Spain.
Yeah.
He goes to Spain. A lot of things happen. He watches Paddington 2, which is a like plot point in this movie. It felt very meta because every like film nerd friend I have loves Paddington 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
It is a thing. Like
do
film
I have to
Twitter.
Fucking watch like Paddington 2?
I've never watched Paddington 1.
Yeah.
But on film Twitter, it's like a beloved thing, and you know, and he's this, you know, pretentious film guy. He's like, I've never watched Paddington 2, and then he's watching it, bawling his eyes out
with Pedro Pascal. It was so cute.
Yeah. So like, you know, him and Pedro Pascal become like best buds.
So good. And I feel like they honestly picked Pedro Pascal because he's so fucking likable.
Right.
Because they probably knew like a movie about Nick Cage being Nick Cage wasn't going to be like that much of a hit.
Sure.
Unless it had...
I like the backhanded slap there.
Unless they had something like Pedro Pascal just being extremely fucking likable.
Yeah. And he is extremely likable. Yeah. And this is the part of the movie where the movie takes a left turn and becomes a... instead of a movie about Nick Cage's life, it's actually a Nick Cage movie.
Yeah.
Like one of his... it's basically becomes one of his 90s action movies.
Yeah.
And We're introduced to, a little before this, to Tiffany Haddish's character. She's a CIA agent, as well as Ike Bernholtz, who I like them both quite a bit as actors.
Yeah, I think they're both great.
And they play off each other well in the comedic sense. They're kind of, they're probably the funniest actual laugh at loud things about the movie.
Yeah.
Especially Ike Bernholtz when he like flips out and he's like thinking that Nick Cage is going to get made later as a spy. And he's like just saying, you're going to die. You're going to die. Like I was laughing really hard at
him. I love when like Tiffany Haddish, her response to him like freaking out was just like, oh, don't mind him. He just found out that his girlfriend's fucking his dad.
And he's like, well, it's a little more complicated.
It's more complicated than that.
I love he doesn't deny it. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
He's
so,
like,
yeah,
that happened. But.
So, I don't really want to ruin the movie here, so I'm going to kind of like just hit a few other spots of things. But he basically, at this point, becomes a spy. How that all plays out is, I want you guys to go see the movie. Murder doesn't probably want you to see the movie, but it's too new for me to ruin it for you, so we're not going to ruin it for you. But there's some sequences in the movie I really love. Have you ever seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas with Johnny Depp? There's a scene where Pedro Pascal and Nick Cage get high and drive around in the topless vehicle. Why am I going blank? What's it called?
A convertible.
I just like the word topless, apparently. Talking about porn stars and topless vehicles. They're driving around this convertible and they're high on LSD. And that just makes me think of the backcountry scene.
Yeah.
They don't quite go into backcountry, but it reminded me of that a lot.
Gotta need golf shoes.
And they even have a little bit of the way they banter in that scene a little bit reminds me a bit of that. Yeah. Of Fear and Loathing. And I that reminded me, I really like that part. There's a part where we're introduced to the fact that Pedro Pascal has a Cage shrine.
Oh my God, it's so good.
And it's funny, creepy. But, like, Nick Cage, Mr. Pretentious, not creeped out at all. Yeah. He's just like, oh, this guy loves me. This is great.
Yeah, the only thing he's creeped out by is that fucking pillow, the sequins pillow.
he pushes the sequins the opposite direction, he's so it's like, not looking at him anymore.
Yeah, he's like, that's grotesque.
Yeah.
I just love how, like, Pedro Pascal is, like, so genuinely, like, in love with him. Oh, I think genuinely. It's adorable. And I think it's funny when Nick Cage is just like, can I buy this off of you? To, like, one of his things. And he was just like, no, it's not for sale.
Oh, that is really good. That is good. You know, so yeah, that's then the movie ends in a great way to me. Maybe not a great way to you. I don't know.
Yeah, it ended. So I was pretty happy.
Oh, you were really happy that it ended.
And I was like, thank Fair. Fucking God.
When we get to this next segment, we have to talk about our favorite parts with Nick Cage. You can't just say when it ended, okay? Just want to make sure you know that.
The moment he stopped talking.
Oh, Lord. So basically, the gist of the movie is, It starts out as a character piece, becomes an action film, and then it's like this movie's intentionally, ridiculously meta because the two characters are writing a film that isn't a character piece that becomes an action film.
Yeah, it's like literally like as they're talking about what the script should be about and like for their film, it's like turning into that inside of the movie. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
So it's dumb.
It's ridiculous. I will note that the actresses playing his wife and daughter, I really liked.
I love them.
When his wife suddenly became badass at the end and had to like fight, like she was freaking all that.
Oh yeah, she's great.
You know the Pedro Pascal's maid, woman. I wouldn't call her maid. What is she? She's like his personal assistant.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she like does. She's a badass.
Yeah,
too.
She's fucking awesome.
And, you know, we find out how good she is at firing weapons later. And
if they took Nick Cage out of this movie, like that whole Nick Cage plot point out, and just focused on Pedro Pascal and...
So like if this was about some other aging actor, you'd love the movie.
Yeah. Anybody else would have made sense.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, go ahead.
Watch your fucking mouth. And watch your fucking mouth!
All right, so this is another segment I want to introduce, and I entitled it based off of my favorite line from the movie Face Off, watch your fucking mouth. As in Face Off, if you're familiar with the movie,
Yeah, also 15 years ago, though.
Okay, so that's, you don't really have a we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going to do a rewatch.
Okay, so that'll probably be another soon one because it's a biggie.
Yeah.
But in that film, John Travolta and Nick Cage have to become each other. Mm-hmm. And they have to learn how to be in each other's shoes, each other's roles. So I'm going to force you to be in my role and me to be in yours each episode for not a lot of time, but a little time. Specifically in that I'm going to force you to say at least one or two nice things about the film, and one of them has to be about something Nick Cage is involved with.
Okay. So my job is way harder than yours.
You're a jerk. And then I will make a point to be critical about a few things in the film, and at least one or two of them have to be about something Nick did.
Yeah.
Or did
so
poorly.
So easy for you.
I don't agree. But perhaps we'll find that my job is easier. I don't know. But so would you like to go first, or you need a minute to think? Because if you need a minute to think, I can go first. Or give me something. Let's start with this. Start with something you liked about the film specifically that isn't Nick-centric. And you did say there's a lot of things about the film that weren't Nick-centric that you liked.
Pedro Pascal, just being Pedro Pascal.
Okay. Being this, like, lovable, just genuinely
he's so goofy,
fun human being.
Like, adorable.
Right.
Like, he was very lighthearted. I really did like the wall scene.
Okay.
When they were on LSD.
Right.
I thought that was adorable when he like peeked his little head over.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
So I don't think it's a spoiler to say there's a scene where they get to a wall when they're high.
Yeah.
And
it's very dramatic.
Very dramatic to get Nick Cage over the wall.
Yeah.
At which point he's over the wall and Pedro Pascal realizes it's a small wall and just walks around it and peeks his head on like a little like bunny rabbit peeking out. Like,
after they said like goodbye to each other.
Yeah, they basically, because they think, of course, as
go
driving
on,
away on
yourself.
LSD, you think you're being followed when you're not. So Pedro Pascal, and that was a specific scene of his you really enjoyed.
I'm trying to think of a Nick Cage one.
All right, well, I'll go for a minute and I'll let you come back to you.
Okay? All right, let me see.
So, as far as critical things about the film, I actually think the most things I can be critical are probably Nick Cage related things. Because I did think that the rest of the cast was pretty pitch perfect. I don't love Pedro Pascal's cousin.
Oh, yeah.
I don't love the way he... I don't necessarily love the way the actor portrays that character.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would have done it better necessarily. And I'm not saying he's a bad actor. I don't know that I really know him well.
Yeah.
But I just... I guess juxtaposed in these scenes where Pedro Pascal's so good that I felt like this guy... The way he carried
like
that
lacking.
Character...
Yeah.
It was missing something for me. There's a couple points in the movie where I wanted, and here's my Nick Cage criticism, where I wanted Nick Cage to call back a little more to some of his old characters.
Okay.
Because it was so meta, it felt like it was missing, it should have been a little more meta even.
Yeah.
Like I didn't see as much callbacks to some of his other big roles that I was hoping. I could have missed them because I'm not an expert, but I also just don't, if I miss them and I am a decent fan, that also means he didn't do them very well.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be him. It could be the script. But I think Nick could have done better.
Yeah.
In that. So there's my specific critiques that I can think of off the top of my head.
I thought of a scene that I liked with Nick Cage.
Oh, all right. Let's hear it.
Okay. I liked the one, where he accidentally, I'm trying not to spoil it too much. But he essentially makes himself, like, pass the hell out.
Okay.
Yeah, and then he has to, like, find the antidote for the thing that made him pass out.
Oh, that's so good.
So, like, that to me was, like, so funny because I was like, maybe because it was making fun of Nick Cage just being fucking stupid.
Sure. Sure.
So that made me laugh. I like that.
So I don't think that's a huge spoiler. We don't have to get super deep into it, but there's a scene where he's given a neurotoxin to use to in his spy work, and he mistakenly gets it on himself.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. And he's only got 30 seconds after it touches his skin to complete a task and get the antidote. And I do like the way Tiffany Haddish gets him to use the antidote over the that is a good scene, and it might be one of the best in the movie actually, comedically.
Like, I won't say like what it was, but when she was just like, that's a trained actor for you right there.
Right, yeah. Well, it's perfect.
So good.
And it just shows, it's another point of emphasis on how pretentious and how much of like, he is an actor.
Yeah,
he's a thespian.
He's only an actor. Only acting can exist.
I love that he does a lot of references to his particular acting modality he uses, like his training.
Yeah.
He talks about that and that how that makes him more prepared than a CIA agent.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. But yeah, so we each put ourselves in Char's shoes, but we can go back into our own shoes now, okay? So.
Thank God.
Yeah. My shoes are big. I don't know how I'd fit in yours.
They're tiny.
Yeah, it wouldn't have worked in any literal sense, but that was a bad dad reference. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I'll forgive you.
So the final segment in each episode is going to be us actually, any final points we need to make that on our side. And then we're going to each give a rating from 1 to 5. And if you're not familiar with Letterboxd, I use 1 to 5 because Letterboxd is the way people rate movies. It's a film journal. I use it since beginning of 2016, actually, on January 1st, 2016, because I'm weird and I have to start on a specific date. And I have to do that. Right. So on January 1st, 2016, I've logged every single movie I've watched in this app, except for ones that were either not on the app because I watch a lot of really indie stuff or like short films from festivals that aren't in the app.
Yeah.
I've even, in the beginning, I was so nerdy that I actually would input the movies into the app myself.
Oh my God.
I can't do it. It was too much for me.
Such a nerd.
I have gone back and entered movies. Like, I'll make a note when I watch a movie in my phone or something that's not on the app so that if it ever shows up on the app later, I can backdate it and put it on. Yeah. I'm a bad nerd with this. When I used to drink a lot of beer, I did this one untapped. Every single beer I drank for years was logged. So it's just a nerdy thing I do. Maybe it's a little bit of my mom's OCD in me.
Yeah.
You can tell by walking through my house, I'm not OCD, though. if my mom lived here, it would look a little different. But we're going to call it the Cage-o-meter, right? So what we're going to do here is after we make our arguments, we're each going to give a rating 1 to 5, and we're going to come up with an average of our two ratings. The end of each episode, that average will determine if we're closer to our hypothesis that Cage sucks, if he rules, or he's somewhere in between. Because I tend to be on the rules and you can be on the sucks, we're going to probably fall in that in between a lot, but there might be times where we're leaning one way or the other. And there might be times, you know, where that audience vote, which we're going to get into after this, will come into play. We don't have an audience vote for today's film because this is our first episode, but before every other episode, we're going to be able to poll everybody, so that's going to be fun. So, do you have any final arguments about this film, without getting too spoilery, that you would make for your side of the argument here?
I think this movie was made specifically as a cash grab.
Hmm.
Like, I think that he needed some extra money, so
that's every movie.
So somebody pitched this to him, okay, and he said excellent. And I think whoever wrote this movie knew that he would be too unlikable and casted Pedro Pascal and Tiffany Haddish to star in it to make.
So
up
he
for
had
the
to cast a cast of completely likable people to make him okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I feel like they knew, like, if it was just like Nicolas Cage and like some I don't know, not B actors, but like not so great actors.
Sure.
It probably would have been a complete flop.
So if they were all Pedro Pascal's cousin, it wouldn't have worked.
Oh yeah, fuck yeah, fuck that dude. He was boring as cat shit.
What
about you?
My argument is, I do think it's for a specific population, but I think this film was very specifically made for diehard Cage fans.
Okay.
So if you're not a diehard Cage fan, this movie's not for you.
Yeah.
Like, it just isn't. You might be able to find some things you like about it, but if you don't like, if you don't love Cage, you're just not going to like, because it's very intentionally leading into the caricatured version of his him that the media has portrayed. It's funny you say cash grab, because honestly, he takes a lot of work and he makes a lot of joke about taking so much work that he's always working. Why don't you ever take a break? Well, because I'm a true actor. But even in the movie, they make reference to it's also because you need the money.
Yeah.
And so, those multiple divorces and alimony might keep you working. And a friend of mine who actually does my other current podcast with me has a podcast called Eric Roberts is the Fucking Man.
Yeah.
Where they watch Eric Roberts movies. I will say this. So Eric Roberts, when he doesn't care about a role, and he does a lot of movies he does not care about.
Yeah.
Because the man has been in, I think he has like almost 600 credits now.
Oh, really?
It's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
They, they used to record an episode every week and still couldn't even make a dent.
Yeah.
You know, and they did it for like 4 years.
Yeah.
Now they do one every like 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But no, that said, when he doesn't like a role, he phones it the fuck in.
Yeah.
One thing, argument I would make is that Nick Cage, if you hate him or like him, he doesn't phone shit in. I think he's himself doing, maybe you hate what he does, but I think he does what he does to the nth degree whenever he's on screen.
Yeah.
And so, because I like him, and he's doing that really hard in this movie, that's my argument. I like it. I like it quite a bit. I'll go first with my rating. So I rated this film on my Letterboxd already, since I'm a nerd and I do that for everything I watch. I rated it a 4 out of 5. Yeah,
it's very generous.
It is generous, and I will. I was leaning between 3.5 and 4. I went 4 because I do find the meta stuff really fun.
Yeah.
But I will admit, like, and I even wrote this in my review on there, was, yeah, film 4, Nick Cage fans. Yep.
Yep.
What's yours?
Mine is a 2.
Oh, okay.
And it's only not a 1 because Pedro Pascal.
Fair. All right. So Pedro Pascal bumps you a full 1 to 2, and that puts us right at the 3. So we're right in the middle of, we've made no
judgments.
Yeah, we really just have, we're stuck in the middle still.
Yeah, we're starting off strong.
So apparently, we're basically going right to the same place we were for episode 2 that we started for episode 1. But honestly, it could be a lot worse. So I'm okay with that. So we're starting with a 3 on the Cage-O-Meter, and we'll see where we go from here. Well, and I will tell you where we go from here, as far as those of you who want to watch along with us. Next month, we are going to cover Con Air.
It was supposed to be a routine transfer. The most violent criminals society's ever produced are being flown to the toughest maximum security prison ever built. Nathan Jones, a.k.a. Diamond Dog, life sentence, murder. Gun Green, a.k.a. the Marietta Mangler, 7 life sentences. Cyrus Grissom, a.k.a. Cyrus the Virus, life sentence for murder, robbery, kidnapping, extortion. And Cameron Poe, parole, heading home to his family. Unfortunately, he just got on the wrong plane. From Jerry Bruckheimer, the producer of Crimson Tide and The Rock, Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, John Malkovich. This spring, buckle up. Con Air, directed by Simon West.
Con Air currently streaming on Amazon Prime and the Roku channel. So if you don't, Roku channel's free online, even if you don't have a Roku.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
But they do have commercials.
Okay.
But Prime has it. Prime has it as well. So if you're an Amazon member, watch it on Prime with no commercials. I recommend not watching it with commercials because I hate commercials. But that said, Con Air, which features pretty much a veritable who's who of the mid '90s, a lot of big name actors in that film, from John Malkovich to John Cusack. A lot of Johns, apparently.
Yeah.
Just everybody named John is in that movie.
I fucking love John Malkovich.
Yeah, I love John Malkovich as well.
Yeah.
I'm actually, John Cusack was the answer for me to a question I used to ask every male I met growing up. I used to say, if because at the time, at a Christian college, people didn't like to talk about homosexuality very much.
I keep forgetting you went to a Christian college.
Yeah, so I used to always say, so if you had to go gay, who would you go gay for? And my answer was John Cusack. Now,
really?
It's not because he's attractive per se, although young John Cusack can get it in your nomenclature.
Yeah.
Okay? You youngins. But I just love his films.
Yeah.
I'm a big John Cusack film guy. So
yeah.
You
he's
know,
pretty good.
Yeah. So that's fair.
Good
fair enough. I mean, Malkovich is just a brilliant actor.
Yeah, he's amazing.
So we're going to I have a weird feeling we might be like, well, if Nick Cage wasn't in this film, it would be perfect. We'll see how we go.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. But he's in a lot of the next film, though. Just like this one was really centered around him, that one is also, he's the main guy.
Yeah, what a treat.
So watch Con Air.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In a couple weeks, stay tuned on the Instagram. We're going to ask you your opinions, because when we moving forward with the Cajun Meter, we're going to have three scores to average out. We're going to have your audience score.
Oh, yeah.
And our two scores. And we're going to build that into where we're at on the Cajun Meter. So,
please. I got to get some of my fellow haters on there.
Please, if you're a hater, please come join us. If you're a lover, please join us as well. And we're going to have a fun time. I do want to shout out the folks who have followed us. Thank you. And those who give us some ideas of movies we need to watch soon. Rachel, who used to write for my website, said Peggy Sue and Valley Girl are movies we need to watch, which we agree. We will get there. Raising Arizona, Lars, don't worry. I promise you we're going to get there. And Sparkles, thank you for recommending an episode of Community. And we will watch that as like a bonus, I think. I think what we'll do is build that into maybe one of the shorter movies we watch or something, or maybe a comedy where it fits in. And just look at it as well. So that'll be fun. I've never watched Community, actually.
The show Community? You've never watched it?
I've watched episodes here or there.
It's so good.
I've only watched a couple episodes here or there. Yeah. Oh, and I don't want to leave out our buddy Billy.
Yeah. What did Billy say?
Billy said we had to watch Lord of War, which I've heard is good, but I've not seen it yet. So we have some good suggestions. We're going to get to all those. I don't know how quickly we're going to get to all those, but I do appreciate those input. And John Marshall, who recommended Con Air, you're next, buddy.
Yeah.
So... thank you, John. So without saying too much more, I will leave us. Murder, do you have any parting words about Nick, about not Nick, about anything you would like to leave our lovely listeners with?
Nick Cage is a bitch.
And I guess we're just going to leave with that. Nick Cage is a bitch. See you guys next month.
Bye.
Nicolas Cage is so cool.
Get out.
He's a Nick Cage fan.
You're grounded.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, they're starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring you up. Willie picks a tune out.
Yeah.